not a spring or an itch. Pain that's swelling or twitch, call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky, I call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of the Hey Doc Show. Harold Lasky is both the medical director and a physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida, and will be your host for the next half hour. With him is his lovely wife Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT and X-ray tech. Together, they hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
How many of you have heard of Socrates? I'm pretty sure that most of you have at least heard the name and perhaps know a little bit more about him. How about Kung Tzu? Who the heck is he, you might ask? Most will say that they never heard of him. How about his other nickname, Master Kung? Still not a familiar name? Well, how about his even more common one, Confucius? Of course you've heard of Confucius. How many have not heard the wise sayings that start with the phrase, Confucius says?
Both were philosophers ahead of their time who often seem to say similar things. Both lived around 475 years BCE, but in very different parts of the world.
And both had something to say about gossip. Now, gossip can be defined in a number of ways. The word itself originated from the old English word godsib, which itself comes from two words, god and sib, generally meaning the godparent's child or the parents of the godchild. It could even refer to very close friends.
Later on, in the 16th century, the word assumed the meaning of a person who delights in idle talk, a newsmonger or a tattler.
Why are we telling you all of this? Well, our topic is gossip, good or bad, and yes, it can also be ugly. Did you know that there are almost 400 magazines related to gossip on the newsstands right now? Even more if you consider the TV and radio programs that base their entire show on gossip. Now, these include U.S. Weekly and the National Enquirer, newspaper people like Dorothy Kilgallen, Hedda Hopper, Arianna Huffington, and Walter Winchell were even referred to as gossip columnists.
The gossip genre now includes the internet with sites such as TMZ.com. There is also the Paris Hilton, the Drudge Report, and the Smoking Gun.
Many actors and actresses and others in the entertainment industry rely on gossip to, well, keep them in the news. Remember, the saying here is, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Now, this means that all mentions in the media aid a person's cause, even if they put them in a bad light. Just another form of gossip.
Gossip can be thought of as saying something behind a person's back, what you would never say to his face, and flattery is saying to his face what you would never say behind his back.
Nevertheless, gossip can be flattery, but for the most part it has all negative connotations. And this is where we get to Socrates and Confucius. A good question to pose to a person trying to tell you some gossip is to ask them this after they have initiated the gossip. Most of the time, this question alone will stop the gossiper right in his or her tracks. And that question is, why are you telling me this? So let's start with Socrates.
As the story goes, Socrates was told by a merchant in a small town who told him that he had some gossip about a mutual friend.
Socrates stopped the gossiper in mid-speech and asked him to wait just a moment before imparting the gossip. He said that he runs all gossip through what he called his three filters to ascertain if he indeed wanted to know it.
First is the filter of truth. Whatever you want to tell me, have you seen or witnessed it firsthand?
The gossiper could only say that he heard it from a trusted source. Socrates then said that it failed his first test, since the gossiper really does not know if what he is about to tell him is the truth.
Then he said that the gossip must go through his filter of goodness, meaning is the gossip something good about his friend?
Unfortunately, the gossip did not pass the second test. And finally, Socrates said, well, you want to tell me something bad about someone, but don't know if it's true.
And finally, Socrates gave him the last chance, the filter of utility. In other words, will the knowledge of this gossip be useful to me?
So Socrates said, please, I don't want to know about it. Now we get to Confucius, who once said, to gossip and spread rumors is to abandon virtue. Now, in that same vein, he said, people who lie, spread gossip and rumor, defame others, and are not trustworthy. They're not your equal. And if you make them so, you only lower your standards to their level. People are judged by the company they keep.
So what do you do if you have heard some gossip? What do you do with that information, be it true or false? Remember what Socrates said?
Well, let me tell you, if you think you'd feel the urge to share this type of gossip, you're probably right. The reason for this is simple. Human beings are psychologically set to share information about one another.
It is part of what we do, at least according to Frank T. McDrew, PhD, the Cornelia H. Dudley Professor of Psychology at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois. He goes on to say that everyone gossips.
According to social scientists, gossip is likely a relic of our evolutionary past, because in order to survive and pass along your genes, it has pretty much always been necessary to know about the lives of those around you, who had powerful friends, who was sleeping with whom, who had limited resources, and who might stab you in the back when times get tough.
And that is to share a juicy piece of news when you hear it. It's part of who we are and a natural characteristic of the species we have become.
We tend to think of gossip as only negative behavior. And by the way, in a study of 467 people, only 34 individuals did not gossip at all. Most gossip was coded as neither positive nor negative, with the majority of gossip recorded in this study, in fact, 75%, was just neutral. And McAndrew said that gossiping is a social skill. A good gossiper is someone who people trust with information and someone who uses that information in a responsible way.
When you find out the person your friend has a crush on has a bad reputation for cheating, you let your friend know, not to hurt your friend, but as a warning.
You find out someone in your company is not a team player, and you let other coworkers know so that they can try to avoid working with that colleague. Now, a bad gossiper, on the other hand, is someone who shares information about others in order to get ahead or get an advantage themselves, or just plain recklessly. Others don't tend to trust bad gossipers with information when they have it.
So, if you want to learn how to be a better gossiper, then you will need to think twice before you do it. For example, you might ask yourself if the gossip is going to stop something bad from happening.
Also, don't gossip for personal gain. If you're doing it for your own personal gain, well, just don't do it. That kind of gossip is usually not doing the listener any favors. And of course, don't distort information. Tell it like it is. Leave the exaggeration at the door. One problem with gossip is that people often exaggerate what they pass on to make a better or more coherent story, or just to justify why they are speaking about someone. From the moment I saw him, I knew that I didn't like him. You've probably heard people say that. In fact, you may be guilty of that a time or two in the past.
Having heard bad gossip about someone can taint your feelings about them, even before you get that first impression, not a good idea.
So to end this topic, we're going to try to give you the 7 reasons not to gossip. First is reputation. Remember that gossip can ruin the other person's reputation. It can lead to trouble, and as a result, you can be confronted about your bad habit. Not only is this embarrassing and awkward for you, but you usually will end up looking like the bad person for spreading gossip or rumors.
Furthermore, people won't want to associate themselves with you if you are someone who has a reputation of being a gossiper or someone who is fake.
People can and will lose faith in you once you are thought of as a perennial gossiper, and people will start to pull away from you. Not only will they not trust you with their secrets, but they'll also start to wonder what other bad qualities you may have. And then there are the legal issues.
Sometimes gossiping can lead to legal issues. Gossip can affect someone's health, business, or emotional state.
All of these are real reasons that someone could take you to court. Don't put your own reputation, as well as the monetary cost you might have to pay in legal fees.
Also, remember that gossiping can become a bad habit. Even if you realize you are doing it and you want to stop, you might instinctively start doing it about certain people.
Remember the old saying about a gossiper: the only time he takes his foot out of his mouth is to change feet. A good thing to live by.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. Dr. Lasky has been the director and physician at the care center for over 34 years. They are located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection, between the Tulsa Welding School and the old Pottsburg Post Office. They will treat your pain, sprains, and strains. Dr. Lasky and Carmen are proud to welcome Dr. Pollan, a board-certified pain management physician, to the practice. The office emphasizes the treatment of chronic pain. They also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any question about Southside Medical Center, please call their office at 641-4411. That's Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care.
We just can't seem to get away from COVID-19 news, be it medical or political. We've already heard this week from President Biden. Now let's look at some more uplifting news concerning the pandemic.
Acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, is a potentially fatal condition. It involves lung damage and experts often associate it with severe COVID-19.
Apparently, there is a link between high death rates and COVID-19-induced ARDS, which is why there is an urgent need for effective treatments.
Experts feel that an uncontrolled excessive immune response to rapid SARS-CoV-2 replication is implicated in the development of ARDS.
There is a new study suggesting that a drug often used to treat hypertension or high blood pressure, called metoprolol, can reduce lung inflammation and improve clinical outcomes in patients with COVID-19-associated ARDS. From one-fifth to one-third of all individuals with a SARS-CoV-2 infection develop severe illness, and about two-thirds of those with severe illness develop ARDS. And as we said, the disease, again, ARDS, involves injury to the lung tissue due to inflammation. With this swelling, there is accumulation of fluid in the alveoli. Remember, those are the air sacs in the lungs where the exchange of gas occurs with blood vessels. We've talked a lot about that in the past. The accumulation of fluid in the alveoli due to leaking blood vessels, and this limits the lungs' ability to supply oxygen to the rest of the body.
People with ARDS due to COVID-19 usually require admission to the ICU, where invasive mechanical ventilation is needed to compensate for limited lung function.
Acute respiratory distress syndrome, again, ARDS, is a major cause of fatality in COVID-19, and so far, there's a lack of effective treatments for severe COVID-19-associated ARDS. So now we're getting back to the metoprolol. This medication can reduce lung inflammation and improve respiratory function in people with COVID-19-induced ARDS. Not only that, it's an inexpensive treatment for severe COVID-19 if it truly works. And that's a big if.
The infection by the SARS-CoV-2 virus activates an immune response in our bodies designed to block the progression of the disease.
Unfortunately, in some cases of severe COVID-19, the body's response goes overboard and there is uncontrolled and excessive activation of the immunity, which can cause ARDS and other complications, and those include organ failure.
One of the first things that happens after an infection with SARS-CoV-2 is the production of signaling molecules, also called cytokines. Along with other molecules, these cytokines that are released from the virus-damaged tissue recruit immune cells such as neutrophils and macrophages to the lungs and result in the activation of these cells.
This excessive production of cytokines is called a cytokine storm, and it simply represents an overactivation of neutrophils and macrophages, and these are the hallmarks of ARDS associated with severe COVID-19. So what happens next in the lungs? Well, these activated neutrophils and macrophages themselves produce cytokines and contribute to even worsening of that cytokine storm.
For a moment, let's talk about the white blood cells called neutrophils. They are neutrophil extracellular traps or nets that help kill viruses and bacteria.
These nets are web-like structures that consist of DNA and proteins that immobilize bacteria and viruses. Now, this sounds good. neutrophils that immobilize bacteria. And this does play a critical role in defending the body from the virus. But hyperactivation of neutrophils can cause damage to the lung tissues and the blood vessels.
The higher the number of neutrophils in the lungs, the worse the severity of COVID-19. This can predict the risk of complications such as ARDS.
So what does this all mean to scientists? Well, this suggests that neutrophils could be a promising target for reducing lung inflammation in people with severe COVID-19.
Metoprolol is an antihypertensive medication of a group called the beta blockers. They work by blocking the effects of the two hormones that mediate the fight or flight response, epinephrine and norepinephrine.
Patients with severe symptoms of COVID-19 are naturally under enormous stress. This causes a very strong activation of the sympathetic nervous system with huge amounts of noradrenaline and adrenaline being released. This can do damage to almost every organ, including the lungs, and the treatment with metoprolol, at least partially inhibiting the damaging effects of these chemicals, occurs. But that's not the only reason that metoprolol may be efficacious. It also has the ability to reduce inflammation and combat fluid accumulation in the lungs.
Metoprolol can reduce lung inflammation and improve blood oxygen levels. Specifically, the team found that metoprolol reduced neutrophil count in the lungs and resulted in lower levels of neutrophil activation.
So you can probably see where we're going from here. The research group headed by Agustin Clemente Moragon, a PhD fellow at the Spanish National Center for Cardiovascular Research, has gone deep in the study of the disruptive and unique role of the beta blocker metoprolol against this neutrophil-driven inflammatory response.
So they investigated whether 3-day intravenous metoprolol administration could result in promising outcomes in patients with COVID-19-associated ARDS.
The results showed that metoprolol administration compared with standard care resulted in a reduction in the number of specific immune cells in the fluid samples collected from the lungs of those patients with COVID-19. And there was a decrease in the number of neutrophils in the fluid samples collected from the lungs of the patients who received metoprolol.
The authors concluded that the IV administration of the metoprolol to critically ill patients with ARDS caused by COVID-19 is safe and disrupts the exacerbated lung inflammation associated with the disease.
And the results go beyond that. In addition, this treatment could be beneficial for all patients with COVID-19 without contraindications for metoprolol, and this benefit could possibly be greater if started even before intubation. So before we all jump with joy with this new treatment adjunct, we should temper our enthusiasm because the definitive studies have not been done nor completed. So now we got to segue into vaccines, and we've had an article concerning booster shots.
The big question is whether vaccine boosters can stop the spread of the newest variant called the Delta variant.
Last weekend, we mentioned that the Delta variant of SARS-CoV-2 is more transmissible than pre-existing variants, and it has rapidly become the dominant variant in many countries. And there have been some reports that suggest that existing COVID-19 vaccines may be less effective in preventing infection with Delta. Can additional boosters actually help? According to one researcher, the highly transmissible Delta variant has made achieving herd immunity an impossibility.
The Delta variant will still infect people who have been vaccinated, and that does mean that anyone who is still unvaccinated at some point will meet the virus.
Unfortunately, recent data has shown and suggested that the immunity provided by COVID-19 vaccines fades considerably over time, which also means vaccinated individuals become more susceptible to infection with SARS-CoV-2.
Yet, some scientists and pharmaceutical companies argue that offering an additional booster shot of some of the most widely authorized COVID-19 vaccines could provide an effective way to keep the Delta variant at bay.
But what does the evidence say so far, and how are countries worldwide responding to the notion of incorporating additional booster shots in their COVID-19 vaccination campaigns? According to Pfizer's 2021 report, those people receiving an additional booster dose of their COVID-19 vaccine after having had the initial two doses increases the amount of Delta variant antibodies fivefold in the 18 to 55-year-old group and 11-fold in the 65 to 85-year-old group.
The third dose would be identical to the two doses of the currently authorized Pfizer vaccine. However, the company is also investigating how an updated vaccine dose altered to target the Delta variant specifically would fare.
Immediately, my question was related to the fact that these viruses seem to forever be mutating. Some of these mutations don't fare well for the virus and cause its death, and that's a good thing. However, the very few that do live through the mutation can either weaken or strengthen the virus's ability to infect. Those that weaken the virus's effect will most likely become extinct.
It is a very small group that not only live through the mutation and become stronger, that are the ones that could become more of a problem for us in the future.
You know, in the Greek alphabet, after the first named variants of the coronavirus, you know, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, we have epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, and iota. God knows how many more variants could be named by the Greek alphabet. So it was good to hear from the researchers in that the ongoing booster trial is evaluating the safety and tolerability of the current vaccine. But the researchers are also developing an updated version of the vaccine that targets the full spike protein of the Delta variant. The first batch of this mRNA for the trial has already been manufactured.
Moderna even said that an additional booster shot of its COVID-19 vaccine would be able to keep the Delta variant at bay.
So far, the FDA, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, has authorized the distribution of third booster shots of both the Pfizer and the Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, but only for those who are immunocompromised and therefore at higher risk of infection with emerging variants of SARS-CoV-2.
Israel has also recently authorized the distribution of third shots of the Pfizer vaccine, which is now available to people over 50, healthcare workers, people with severe risk factors for the coronavirus, and prisoners and wardens.
Now the WHO, that's the WHO, World Health Organization, has put a kink in all of this with their statement that while booster shots may go some ways towards offering better protection against emerging variants of SARS-CoV-2, they are concerned that the rapid distribution of third vaccine doses in high-income countries will further contribute to vaccine nationalism and widen the vaccination gap in low- and middle-income countries. Delta plus variant of SARS-CoV-2? How about that? How does it compare with the Delta variant?
A novel SARS-CoV-2 variant, the Delta plus variant, has been identified in over 10 countries. Health authorities are raising concerns that the variant may have an increased ability to transmit, but they also note that this variant's transmissibility is likely similar to that of the pre-existing Delta variant. One virologist stated that the Delta plus might have a slight advantage in infecting and spreading between people who were previously infected earlier during the pandemic or who had weak or incomplete vaccine immunity.
I expect that this pandemic will be with us and affecting us all in more ways than one, and it will be with us through the end of 2022. Hopefully not.
In the daytime, I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night, I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me. Well, at lunchtime, you can always find me at the Whole Earth Vitamin Bar, just sucking on my plain white yogurt from a hand-thrown pottery jar. Ah, but when that clock strikes midnight and I'm all by myself, I work at combination on my secret hideaway shelf. And I pull out some Fritos corn chips, Dr. Pepper, and an old moon pie. Then I sit back in glorious expectation of a genuine junk food high.
We would like you, our listeners, to know that Dr. Lasky is one of only a few physicians in the Jacksonville area that has been certified to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call their office at 641-4411. They have also set up a special website at www.compassionatecarejax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of another Hey Doc show.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.